For members only, Golf Smarter number 429, published on March 25, 2014.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
More on The Golf Rules Stroke Play with Richard Todd.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter, Richard.
Thanks so much, Fred.
It's great to have you on again. I want to get right back into the conversation about your fun little book called The Golf Rules Stroke Play, Learn the Rules of Golf by Watching Others Break Them. Again, a fun little read. I was picking your brain. I'm so curious, you know, now that you have the book out, do you talk to people about rules, or do you get a sense that people always follow the rules, or that they admit they broke the rules? Do you get any sense of that?
Yes, actually, I was just at the Cleveland Golf Show. 25,000 people came through, and most everybody, I'm sure it's tongue in cheek, but it's a lot of smart aleck comments saying, oh, like, we don't play by the rules. We don't need the rules. I don't like the rules. Those kind of things. Although we know that at least to a great extent, everybody plays by the rules. You might have your personal ones that you like to bend a little, as you were saying before, inside the leather is good. But overall, selling the rule book was akin to setting up an Alcoholics Anonymous table at a bar. At least that was my takeaway from everybody that came by loved the idea, but they were shy of admitting that they knew less than everything.
So they don't admit that they're breaking the rules, but they also won't admit that they know the rules.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, I fall in that category. No, I know. I admit. I know there are rules that I break because I just don't care. I think that they're absurd. I think that there's some of these rules are just ridiculous, and it's part of my whole issue with the USGA and having a driver up there. You know, up the rear. It drives me crazy. Why, to me, so many of these rules are to be, and I know I'm going to really upset a lot of people with this, but I get the sense that these rules are to be the advocate for the golf course, not the advocate for the golfer. Crickets.
I've heard you say that before.
And it never made sense to you then, and it doesn't make sense to you now.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I think I have I have more of a perspective after dealing with the USGA and for the book and going through the rules school. And to make another metaphor, I feel like the USGA is a police officer. Nobody wants to see a police car in their rearview mirror with the lights on. But when somebody's trying to break into their house, they don't mind calling 911. For some reason, that's just the way people feel. You know, if you're speeding, it's very simple. You know, here's the speed limit. If you break it, there's the potential for the penalty.
So if you're a victim, that's one thing. If you're the perpetrator, nah.
Exactly. So, you know, the question is, are you breaking the rule intentionally and you're trying to get away with something, or is it an accident and you just need to talk your way out of the 2-stroke penalty?
Okay, fine. So let's pick into the book. I would love to go over some of the rules that seem to be common mistakes or common misinterpretations, or just I didn't know that type of rules. And so I'd love to do two things. One, I'm going to ask you a series of questions and see if we can get a ruling from our official. Even though you're not the official, you wrote a book. And then also, if anybody, let's just do this. If anybody has any rules questions they're not sure of and would like clarification, send me an email. I'll get Richard on Skype and we'll do a little video of Richard explaining that rule to you and if it works or not. So just go click on the Hey Fred button and send me your question and we'll get Richard to answer the question. So Richard, here, let's start right at the tee box, because there's rules there. You know, like, are there rules where your playing partners are allowed or not allowed to stand while you're teeing off?
There are not rules, but that's an etiquette issue.
And that's in the next book.
That is in the next book.
Okay.
You know, the tee box, of course, is an interesting thing. It is defined by the tee markers, which actually the tee box goes to the outside of the tee markers. So if you, depending on if you have the little balls or blocks, it actually extends on the outside of that.
How far item. Outside?
Just to the end of it, right to the shadow
outside
where it
edge.
Would drop. Outside edge, right. Okay. And it's two club lengths back. Granted, I don't remember the USGA specifying which club, but you know, for some people, like there's an issue in the book where one of the players knows he hits his 8-iron 135 yards, and the tee marker is at 130, and so he backs up 5 yards. Well, that was outside of the actual defined tee box, mm-hmm. and so that's something you can't do.
Okay.
Because if you're playing outside of the tee box, you effectively didn't tee off properly.
Okay.
And it's a disqualification.
Right. Are you allowed to not use a tee on the tee box?
Yes.
But you're not allowed to use a tee anywhere else but the tee box. I'm just asking here.
I've heard that starters should do that, but yes, no, you cannot use a tee throughout the green or through the green, as we were just talking about before. That's the definition of the area between the tee box and the putting green, through the green.
Okay. And when you say that you can set up two club lengths, generally I would think that's people using their driver. Whenever there's a two club length thing, people pull out the longest club, which would be the driver, right?
Usually. Yeah.
You can't use your you're not allowed to use your ball retriever that has this telescopic ball retriever.
Right, right.
Okay.
And,
so
and the interesting thing with that is the ball has to be in the tee box.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is like, can the ball be, well, it can't be right to the outside edge because you may hit it. But if you put the ball like right, say you're a right-handed hitter and you go to the tee box when you're facing the fairway, the tee box that's on the far left, right, the left side, which is for a right-handed hitter. So you put the ball just inside that that marker, but you could stand. Is it legal to stand outside that?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good to know.
Yeah, you'd have to have a really strange fairway that you'd want to be able to do that. But yeah, it's an option.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, I know when I go bowling, okay, and it's a weird analogy here, and you know, you're from Ohio, you bowl. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
That was not good. So anyway, so like, you know, you got the 7-10, you know, the outside pins, right? You got the 10 pin over on the far right. Now, to me, it makes much more sense to start on the far left of the lane and give yourself the angle to go at it than try to just hug the ball straight down the right side and hope that it hits it, right? So for me, the same thing. If my target line is to put the ball on the right side of the fairway to give me a better angle to approach the green, then I'm going to hit from the left side of the tee box.
It's something you could do, yes.
Okay. That's not a rule thing. That's just how I approach it. It's like, yeah, I'll hit on the far side. Now you've listened, because I don't listen to my interviews when I'm doing them. I'm just like recording them, so I hear. But I remember when I had a woman at TPC Scottsdale, and I asked her if she noticed anything, and she said to me, "Oh yeah, you tee up on the right side of the tee box every time." And I'm like, "I do? I don't think I do." And she said that I do.
You remember? That is exactly what came into my mind when you gave your description.
Is what she said?
Yes.
Dude, you're not supposed to take notes on the shows. You're just supposed to listen. It's a podcast.
It's a great podcast.
Stop. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's very nice. Can you tell people in my family that it's like we're the longest? They're like, why do you still do that? Okay.
Just
let's
point
go
to the book.
Yeah. Are you kidding? It's already in a frame and no. It's going to be, though. I'm just so touched. All right. Water hazards. Let's get back to, because we talked about water hazards, and I kind of caught you off guard there. Let's go over the water. You've done a little research now. What can you tell me?
First, we're talking about, we mentioned water hazards versus lateral water hazards before. And the lateral water hazard can actually be part of a water hazard. But the lateral part is positioned so that you can't play behind it. You're outside of the you can't drop a ball behind the water hazard and still be in the playing area. That goes back to what we were saying. Okay, so there's four things you can do when you're in a water hazard. First one is play it as it lies. And this is one of those things you got to think about for a second, because most people are like, well, my ball's in the water, how can I play it? Well, your ball doesn't have to be in the water to be in a water hazard. You know, if you see those red lines or the red stakes, you could technically be in the water hazard, but still have a nice dry approach.
Whoa.
Oh, caught you with that one, huh?
Well, no. It's like, say that the golf course, you know, the water begins and there's crocodiles, you know, the water's there and the ball is like 3 or 4 inches before it gets into the water. And yet there's a red line that's been spray painted onto the grass about 2 feet away from the water. Now, that red line is OB, is it not? Or is that a white one?
That's a water hazard.
Okay, that says it's so a water. Red line says it's a water hazard.
It's a water hazard, right.
So even though it's inside the red line but not in the water, you can still hit from there without penalty?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
So you can hit
Thank you.
And as we were saying, you can go back to the tee box, or not necessarily the tee box, but you can go back to where your last shot was, which may not be in the tee box. It could have been, you know, like a par five. You could have put it in the water from your second, third, or eighth shot. So there's number two. Three is we're talking about dropping a ball online from the tee, or it's not the tee, the flag stick behind the water hazard. And you can go as far back as you want.
Mm-hmm. But you have to stay on line from where you pull the ball out, the line, not the line your ball flight was, but the line to the flag?
Where it crossed the water hazard mm-hmm. to the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And there are options where you were saying about dropping within 2 club lengths, not nearer the hole. Now, an interesting part on that one is we know closer to the hole. We can see that. But that line goes left and right. So you literally could possibly drop on the other side of the water, being the same distance from the hole.
Hmm.
It's an interesting one. The rule book does have a nice little diagram for that. And I'm sure the USGA website also discusses that or has that same graphic. But again, this just goes to show you why it's so difficult to play by the rules.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to just take it back and hit another one. As you were saying before, you could hit a provisional, but there are other options.
Yeah. And then I'm still not clear on when you're allowed to just move the ball, the difference between taking the ball all the way back to where you originally hit or just saying, you know, it's over here, but I'm moving it so it's in play here and hitting it here and hitting three versus going back to the tee box hitting three. Is there an instance where I'm allowed to hit it from where it is out of bounds and just move it laterally and then take my third shot from there? Is that legal ever?
I'm trying to say yes, but I'm having a tough time remembering the exact situation.
Yeah. We're going to have to do a little more research on that one.
But that goes back to your question you asked me a little earlier. Do people come up and ask me rule questions?
Mm-hmm.
And that happened a lot at the golf show. And I'm an author. I'm not a rules official for the USGA. So I will from time to time, just like everybody else, forget how that rule goes.
Dude, you're a compliance guy.
It doesn't mean we're always right. That's our goal.
Well, that, you know, I don't believe the rules are always right, but I have to play by them. He's not going to comment on that.
Nope.
Okay. Are there more water hazard things that we should know?
Yes, but you know, that's more than enough for today. I think
we're... All right.
There's so much to have fun with.
Yeah. Right. Let's see. What about testing hazards? What is the ruling on that? What does that mean? Like, you know, with bunkers, I remember that. Well, was that a U.S. Open? Like, if it's
you know, are you talking about? Let's see, what was that?
Johnson was that? Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson. And
if it's sand, it's a hazard, right? And he was like that he got penalized and lost. It was like terrible.
You know, what's funny is I actually struck up a conversation with one of the presenters at last year's Rule School about that, and he was laughing because he was there. And he was telling me how every caddy and player was told over and over again, you know, they were shown where all the bunkers are at. And even as Dustin was going up there, his caddy was told that's a bunker or that's a hazard. So what we see on TV doesn't always actually happen as the way we think it does. And sometimes they just don't pay attention.
Yeah.
So, yes, to answer your question, you can dig your feet in. You can, I think the rules call that getting a firm stance. You cannot take a practice stroke. That means hitting the sand. But you can take a practice swing into the air. Again, that goes back to the legal descriptions of swing versus stroke.
Like my ball versus versus a ball.
Right. So as long as you don't swing into the sand, you're okay in those situations.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. So then testing hazards, no.
Correct.
Cannot have your club touch the hazard while practicing.
Correct.
Okay. Everyone
don't
do that. But they have to be designated. Now, obviously, that was tournament play, and it was, you know, like that hazard that he got penalized for, it was like the size of a size 7 shoe, right?
and I believe there were spectators standing in it, too.
Yeah, so exactly.
It makes it even more difficult to...
Oh, that was so painful.
...to define.
Yeah, that was so painful. Okay. So you really, if you're just playing, you should know your course. But I mean, there probably there are places like that.
That's always an interesting question to ask before you tee off. You know, at the starter, you know, what is defined as the hazards on the courses, and you know, they'll always give you recommendations and suggestions and things to watch out for because you know they know the course and they want you to have a good time.
Sure they do. All right.
Well, they want you to come back.
That's what they want. They don't care if you enjoy yourself or not. They want you to shoot 130. So then I guess that would bring up the conversation about debris or what are they called? Obstacles or impediments? Loose or fixed?
Loose impediments and
fixed?
Yes, I'm... Sorry, I'm losing my thought process again.
And I understand, and I apologize. You know, we're 3 hours okay. difference on time zone, and I'm just around, you know, it's getting late in your day, and I apologize. You get up early
that's
for
quite
work.
All right. You had made a comment earlier about the being on the tee box and knocking the ball off the tee.
Yeah, and there's a good one.
That kind of goes with being in the bunker. Is it a stroke or is it a swing? If you're practicing, that's not a stroke. That's a swing because you don't have intent to hit the ball. So, you know, quite often we're practicing a little too close and we knock it off. That is not a stroke. There is no penalty for that.
Now, okay. So let me try to graphically explain this one. So you've teed up the ball. you're about to do it. You go to address the ball. You place your driver right down next to it, and it taps the ball, and the ball falls off the tee. That is not a stroke. That is not a stroke, because right, you'll have no guys in your foursome all going, "That's one," and you're and you can turn around and say, "No, it's not."
Right.
Okay. Good.
Now, on the opposite side, you can swing with the intent of putting it out there at 275 and it go that 2 inches that it would have. That is a stroke, and that is your ball played. And some people think, well, okay, I went 3 inches. Let me just pull it back, put it back on the tee. Well, effectively, you've gone back to what we just talked about, that stroke and distance.
And,
so you hit it
and
3 inches.
You do not get to tee it up again. Right? At that point? Well, no. The ball's, you play it where it lies. If you only had 3 inches, you got to hit it there, right? Pick up the tee and move on.
That's the way you're supposed to play it. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. But what about, say you take a practice swing. No, you address the ball, you take your swing and miss the ball completely. It has happened.
It has happened. And that is a stroke. Because so, you had the intent of hitting it.
So if you swing and miss completely, and this was your swing, but you miss it, and the ball is still sitting exactly where it was when you started, that counts as a stroke?
That's strike one, yes.
Oh, wow. That's
you do that more
vicious.
Often than not?
No, I don't do that. I know me do that? No, never. Never do that. No, but I've seen it happen. Because I play with anybody. It's like, oh, you've never played golf? Come on, let's go out. Oh, this will be fun. But so that actually counts as a stroke. That would be defeating if that happened to you and you weren't a very good player. It's like, well, I don't want to play if that's going to count.
Well, at least there's no penalty because you don't have to, you know, bring the ball back. You're still in a good lie.
What do you mean there's no penalty? I didn't hit it, and it counts.
Well, there's no penalty. There's
but you're
stroke,
right.
But it's
I like that you actually said strike one. That, you know, that counts as a swing. Huh. But yeah, okay, all right. Let's see. So then I want to talk about the debris. Like, say you hit your ball and it goes into the woods. And I hope I'm okay with this. It goes into the woods and the ball lands under some stuff that has fallen from the tree. You know, and then there's a branch here and there, and there's some leaves, and the ball's under there, and what am I allowed to do to make it so I can get a clean shot at the ball?
You know, we saw, again, not to bring up the tour, there was an interesting one not too long ago, I think it was down at Hilton Head, where it was live, thick brush, and in the backswing, if you clear out some of that brush, that is a penalty, even though I don't know how you could not do it.
Wait, live brush?
Yes. It was some tall weeds.
Okay.
And I think there have been other people that have, you know, called a penalty on themselves or something, which somebody watching from TV at home. But you've got to be very careful about changing the lie.
So am I allowed to, if it, you know, goes into the fescue and there's all this tall grass around it and I can get to it, but if I hit it, it's just going to get caught up in this tall stuff. So I can't pat down the grass in front of it on the direction my shot's going. I can't.
Correct. You can't go in there and clear out your path.
Okay. And
I don't know how you'd really, I guess, just smack away and try to.
Can you say, you know, but you can say, listen, I know that if I try to hit this, it's not going anywhere. I'm going to take 5 or 6 strokes. I'm stuck in this. Can you say, I'm going to take a drop. I'm going to move the ball and take a drop over there.
You can play it as a, I'm drawing a blank on the terminology.
This show
an unplayable lie.
Unplayable lie. Okay.
I'm trying to think, though, where your drop zone is at.
No closer
sure
to the hole.
I'm sure it's going to be close to where the ball's at. So if you're surrounded by 15 feet of this stuff, I don't think you're going to get out easily.
Right. But there's a penalty involved with that. I mean, you can.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. And that kind of goes back with the rule. You're not trying to get out of trouble because, you know, play the course as it lies.
No,
you're
I'm just trying to get closer you're to the trying hole. To,
well, right. But you're trying to get relief from something that is not normal, like on a cart path. And that's probably one area that most people don't understand. You can be on a cart path, and most everybody will drop to the fairway side of the cart path. Well, that may not be your, quote, quote, closest point of relief. It depends if you're a right-hander or a left-hander. You know, you literally have to almost measure where that ball's at and how far you have to move it so that you can take a stance to play the ball. And it may be to the inside. It may be into the rough. And I've even seen where your closest point of relief could be right behind a tree. Now, you're not taking relief. You're not trying to better your next shot. You're just taking relief from the cart path. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a great next shot, but it means you're not going to hit on the cart path.
Right. And if you do land on the cart path and you take relief from that, is there a penalty?
No.
So you should not hit from the cart path.
Unless you have no good relief. I mean, you can get relief from the cart path, but that could put you into a more troublesome position. Mm-hmm. You could have roots on one side, tree. Maybe the dirt's all tore up.
Do you remember now? This is funny. Do you remember the interviews that I did with the caddies at Pebble Beach a number of years ago?
About using some other guy's club?
Yes. I love that story. I love when the guy's like, and they were playing, you know, gotta play it where it lies. And the guy's like, oh, and he landed on the cart path and it was like it was asphalt. It wasn't just a cement. It was asphalt, right? So there's rocks in it and pebbles and it's rough. And the guy was like, oh, I'm going to just take relief here. And his playing partner said, no, got to play it where it lies. Now, was he wrong?
Well, yes, that's not the rules. The rule says you can take free relief from there. They broke the rules before they even started because they decided that they were going to play everything down. And that was contrary to taking your allowed relief.
Mm.
And so, yes. And then the golfer that was hitting asked if he could take a practice swing. And the other golfer said, sure.
Right.
He took several practice swings.
And he's like, you know, he's making sure. And then there's sparks flying from the club. And, you know, he's just destroying the golf club. I loved this story. And finally, he takes the shot and sticks it, puts it right next to the pin. And his playing partner said, wow, that was a great shot. Which club did you use? And he said, your 6-iron. I thought that was funny.
One.
Now
It was.
But now, wait a minute. Using your partner's 6-iron is illegal, correct?
Okay. You can share clubs as long as the total number of clubs don't exceed 14.
Whoa, total number of clubs that you use in a round? Or because you may be carrying 14, but you're not going to hit your 7-iron at all today. You can't.
Well, it's in your bag. You're going to use it. It's available to you. Right.
Okay. So if you're only carrying.
You're right. In that case, I never thought about that one. He probably has got a penalty for having too many clubs.
Right. So, but you can carry 13 clubs and say to your buddy, oh, I didn't bring my hybrid today. Can I borrow yours? And as long as you've got 13 clubs in your bag, that's okay.
Well, it's okay one way. I'm trying to think if the other golfer, because now he's shared a club. I'm not sure how that falls. I think he might be okay. It gets a little tricky there.
Oh, sure.
The penalty can go.
Where's the lawyers when we need them?
Exactly.
Where are the lawyers?
And, you know, another point about the rules that we're getting into is it's not always about penalizing yourself. It's about the opportunities that you missed, like dropping it off the cart path or taking it out of the embedded lie so you don't take 4 strokes to move it 1.5 feet. So the rules are there just to try to make the game more enjoyable, or at least even.
No, that's making the game more enjoyable is being able to tee it up every time. What about cleaning the ball? You know, sometimes you'll get when people say winter rules, is that an official designation? Do you know?
It is an official designation. It's called preferred lies in the book, and it's there for the care of the course.
Okay.
That hole, or maybe the entire grass, because of the weather conditions, they don't want you taking big chunks of sod out.
Yeah.
So you can move the ball slightly so that you have a better lie, so that you don't do as much damage to the course.
Sure, but what if you got a big chunk of mud on your ball?
There are times that you can clean your ball, but I'm not sure how the preferred lies rolls in with cleaning your ball. I don't think that that's an option there.
Wow.
Course, you can clean it on the putting green.
On the putting green,
and
yes.
After you mark it, before you tee off, you can clean your ball slightly for identification purposes. You know, you might have a big clump of dirt, but that dirt might be right over your marking, and you need to be able to identify. So there are opportunities where you can touch up the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Playing an unplayable lie, I believe that's an option too, where you can clean your ball before you redrop. So,
Okay.
A lot of fun stuff.
A lot of fun stuff. Let's see. I'm going to throw one more at you. Let's see if you can come up with your ball. You've just hit your ball from the fairway. You're now on the green, and your playing partner hits up and comes up short of the green. He's just on the fringe. And then he goes to take his next shot from the fringe, and in the process of hitting it from the fringe, he hits your ball. Is that a penalty, or is that okay? Because you haven't gotten up to mark your ball yet. I mean, you know, obviously you're going to go mark your ball, which you're allowed to do, right? And pick
right.
it up.
Get Absolutely. It out.
Okay. Yep. But if he hits it from off the green, no matter what club he's using, and this is one thing that cracks me up all the time, people say, oh, I had three putts there. It was like, no, you had three strokes with your putter, but you only had two official putts, correct? Just because you're using your putter doesn't mean it counts as a putt, because people putt from off the green all the time.
Right.
Okay. So, excuse me. So then, now guy's hitting, he's using his putter, he's on the fringe, and he hits it, and it hits your ball. Is that a penalty? And if it is, well, whose ball gets moved, or do they both? How does that work?
All right. Hopefully I get this right. There is no penalty. The ball that was there first sitting will be replaced for no penalty. The player that was just hitting that knocked the ball, I believe that's a rub of the green, and his ball stays where it bounced off.
So one gets moved, the ball that's originally there gets moved back to where it was, and the other one, wherever it ricocheted onto, that stays where it is.
Right.
Okay. Now, he hits that shot, and it trickles from the fringe. He hits his approach shot. It trickles just over the fringe and makes it onto the first 2 inches of the green. Now he's actually putting on the green, and you still haven't moved your ball. Because you're on the opposite side of the green, or for whatever reason, and he puts it, and it hits your ball. Is that a penalty?
Yes.
How much of a penalty?
I believe it's 2 strokes.
Ouch.
Most everything is 2 strokes for match or for stroke play. Match play is usually loss of hole.
Okay. Okay. So 2 strokes meaning I'm hitting my third shot. Let's see. I'm hitting.
Yeah, so you hit.
I'm hitting my third shot. I hit his ball for my third shot.
Yeah.
And now I'm 2 penalty strokes. So now my next stroke, 3, 4, 5, I'm now hitting 6.
Right.
Or I'm hitting 5.
You're hitting 6 because you hit 3. 4 and 5 is your penalty. And then your next shot will be, stroke will be six.
Okay, but on the out of bounds situations, you hit it in, you pull it out. That's your penalty. You get one stroke penalty.
Well, you're hitting the first shot is a counts, and then your penalty stroke coming back.
And so when you're hitting again, you're hitting three, not four. That's
correct.
The difference. Okay.
Right.
Dude, I know you got to be exhausted from me grinding you like this. I'm tapped out. but I really enjoy your time, and I can't thank you enough for your long-term support of the podcast and your very kind words. And I'm still don't get why you would dedicate your book. But now that you've done it, you've got to dedicate all three of them to me. So screw you, buddy. and again, thanks so much. And I really want to advise anyone who's interested in getting more about learning the rules so you can repeat them to your friends. Forget the rules of golf written by the USGA. It's little pages because they want you to put it in your back pocket, but it's over 200 pages long. No, the golf rule stroke play, learn the rules of golf by watching others break them, which actually is kind of fun because you get yourself into situations going, I've been there, I know that, and you start getting to know the people that are in the book. It's a lot of fun. Pick that up. It's in the Golfer's Mart, The Golf Rules by Richard Todd. Richard, thanks again, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.